go to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you now that we have the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, as we look back and see what your servant, your messenger said to this wonderful young lady that we will talk about this morning, Father, let us always be reminded that you alone are our mediator, you alone are our God. And Father, we thank you that people can recognize this and be used by you as your servants, as your tools for your great plans and purposes. We thank you, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, starting the third week in November, one of the local radio stations, and I've mentioned this before, started playing Christmas music. Now, I have heard this particular song by six different groups 1,000 different times. And it's one of our favorite songs. It's kind of in the top 10 with me, but not in the top 5. And it's a song we all know. It's Mary, Did You Know? And I believe Mark Lowry was the one who wrote that. If you know him, he's from the Gaithers. But it's been done by many different groups, and it gives us a sense of, well, what did Mary know? Now, you got to understand, the Mary we read in Scripture in the book of Acts, when she was with the disciples in the upper room waiting for the falling of the Holy Spirit, knew a whole lot more than Mary the Virgin somewhere around Galilee in Nazareth when Gabriel came. Jesus, in the meantime, had been born and he had been raised and he had done the miracles. Remember, she was there with some of the miracles, and he had been arrested and crucified and resurrected by the time he ends. So we're talking about a different set of knowledge at the end than we do at the beginning, but I want to concentrate in the beginning. So I titled this sermon, not Mary, Did You Know?, but Mary, You Did Know. What did she know? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, you don't have to worry. I'm more of a theologically inclined guy. I'm not more of a singing guy. So I will not sing Mary, Did You Know? So you do not have to worry about that. Songs are not our source of biblical truth, although many of our songs contain biblical truth. Our source is the Word of God, is found in the Bible. Thus, we're going to turn to the time that Mary found out about what was to come and find out just what she did know. So let us turn to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 26 and read through verse 38. Luke 1, 26 through 38. And like I like to do during the times of the holidays, I like to read out of the King James, because the King James is what we were brought up with. It's what we memorized our Bible verses in. Not knocking any other translation. Some of them are good for the reasons they are, but traditionally, I like this during the holiday, so I hope you'll bear with me. Verse 26 in Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth the Son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, and it be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So much is there. We could talk about all kind of things out of that text. We could talk about John the Baptist. We could talk about Mary's servant heart. We can talk about all things being possible with God. But I want to know, what Mary learned from that angelic visitor. Now, I want to go on a rabbit trail here for a second. Do you remember when the shepherds saw the angels in the sky with their wings and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and everything, and they were sore afraid? Basically, that's translated, they were scared out of their britches. Mary just saw Gabriel. And we don't see how Gabriel appeared. Did Gabriel appear with the wings of the cherubim or what? Well, Gabriel was not a cherubim. So obviously he didn't have the six wings. Those are around God's throne. Or did he appear just as a messenger, which the word angel means? Just messenger. He might have just showed up. Do people just show up without the glory of God? Yes, sometimes they do. We remember when Abraham's three visitors met with him under the tree at Mamre. They just looked like men. When two of them went into Sodom and Gomorrah, they just looked like men. You know, about the only time we saw something maybe glory was outside of Isaiah's vision was when Daniel saw the man, or when Joshua saw the captain of the Lord of hosts before they went into Jericho. Angels show up in different forms at different times. Now, that's just a rabbit trail because I want us to understand Mary did not freak out when Gabriel started talking to her. She listened. She tried to understand in the way that her mind, her human mind, learned. Now, folks, there are some teachings that say Mary was immaculate or whatever. No. Mary was a 100% human being, person, with sin. Because she herself, as we're going to see in a minute, said God her Savior. She understood she needed a Savior. You only need a Savior if you have sin. However, God kept what was in her pure from the stain of the sin of mankind. A miracle. That's why we need to believe in the virgin birth. But what did Mary know? Well, let's get into it. The first thing that Mary knew is we were talking about. A special messenger greeted her with a strange greeting. This guy just showed up. Said, hey, Mary, favor to you among women. God's pleased with you. Now, how would you like somebody just showing up out of nowhere telling you something like that? What would your mind think? Would you be scared? I would be sore afraid. I would be scared. Because what does it mean? And that's exactly what she thought. What does this mean? We do not know, as we stated, whether Gabriel appeared as a normal person or a bright and shining spectacle. But she was perplexed with the greeting nonetheless. What did it mean? Why was she favored among women? Who was this messenger? Well, after the understanding, the knowledge that it was a special messenger, Mary heard she had found favor with God. Now, brothers and sisters, there will be a time that we will be told that we have found favor with God. Each one of us. When is that, preacher? When you stand before God, and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy master. That is when we understand that we have found favor with God. But we have not found favor with God because of any good thing we've done. It's because of God's mercy and His grace, His forgiveness, all the good characteristics of God, and His righteousness. Well, how can we stand righteous before God? We don't. We stand in Jesus Christ, and Jesus stands righteous before God. And we are found righteous through Him, not of anything of our own. You see, God picks out certain people for certain tasks in this world. And we're given many, many examples in the Bible of God choosing what would otherwise be someone where we wouldn't choose. I mean, let's face it, would we choose Moses? Moses was a murderer. He'd killed an Egyptian. And he didn't even want to be where God was sending him. Would we have picked him? No. But God picked him. Would God pick a shepherd boy named David? Now, he was the cutest out of his brothers. It said he was a handsome little feller. But he was short and he was ruddy. He was kind of reddish color. But he had a heart after God. And God chose that for him to be the king over Israel. And for even our Lord and Savior to be from His line. As Gabriel told Mary, he will be given the throne of his father, his ancestor, David, to rule over Israel forever and ever. Didn't we sing this morning? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Jesus came for the Israelites first because he is the Messiah. But, as Paul stated, they rejected him, thus he was available to everybody according to God's plan. Excuse me, if I sneeze, please forgive me because I feel it coming on.
Never sneeze in a microphone.
Y'all should have heard it up here, right back in my ears. All right. So Mary heard she found favor with God. And basically, I'm going to give you the redneck version. Huh? What had she done that was so special? Well, she loved God. Other than that, she didn't do anything special. God, in His sovereignty, chose her for that specific purpose at that specific time. As was read this morning, at the proper time, God sent His Son, born of a virgin, so that all of us might believe and be forgiven. So we see that a special messenger, Mary knew that. Mary knew that she had found favor with God. And there, here comes the biggie. Mary was going to conceive a special child in her womb. This child was to be named Jesus. Now, the Hebrew form, Yeshua. We see that all over the Old Testament in different names. Joshua, Hosea, all of those are forms of the same name. But Mary was going to be pregnant. And this child, this Jesus, was to be called the Son of the Most High and to be king over Israel on the throne, as we said, of his ancestor David. He was going to reign over Israel forever. Now, the alarm bells started going off in Mary's head. Okay? She could take it and she could understand that that was a special messenger and that was she found favor with God, but now she found out she's going to be pregnant. And she was like, wait a minute, I've never even been with a man. How can I get pregnant? And let us not forget, in those days, if a young woman was found to be pregnant and not married, she was to be stoned. So the alarm bells, rightfully so, went off in Mary's head. Mary was a virgin. She knew she was. She had never been with anybody. But she was a faithful daughter of Israel and could not figure out how this was going to happen. She asked Gabriel about this and he answered her. And this is what he said. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary was going to be pregnant by a miracle. The Holy Ghost was going to come upon her. The Holy Ghost was going to put life in her. And she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Now, you hear a lot of different things. The Mormons will teach that their God, they call him Elohim, which is the actual name of God in the Old Testament, but it's not the same God we have. Literally went into Mary and had sexual relations with her physically while she was still espoused with Joseph. Now, if God is sinless, how can He be born of a sinful relationship? He can't. Therefore, that is just a bunch of hooey. Okay? Mary was a virgin. The Bible, the Word of God, is clear on how this happened. Now, as old pastors, you can joke. Nowadays, if your daughter comes to you and says, Dad, an angel visited me and I'm pregnant, you don't believe that, okay? Because ever since that point, it's been, before that point, except for Adam and Eve, it was just regular mechanics. Let's put it that way. And after that, it was regular mechanics. But for Christ Himself, the Son of God, the sinless, virgin-born Son of God, it was a miracle. And we have to believe this. Because if you don't, all kind of other things start coming in. Well, if I can't believe this, what else can I believe? And all this other kind of nonsense. So Mary was going to be used by God as a vessel through which God, the Son, would enter into this world to fulfill the promises Yahweh God had made to Israel. God had promised Israel, I'm going to send you a Messiah. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Mary was told, your seed shall crush the serpent's head and he shall bite the heel. You know, if you get bit by a snake in the heel, it hurts like a you-know-what. Alright? But it's not fatal, normally. But if you crush a serpent's head, that snake is dead. As Jerry Clower used to say, he's graveyard dead. And that's what Christ has done to the enemy. To prove this point about God fulfilling His promises, God also allowed Mary's cousin Elizabeth to get pregnant in her old age. Now that was the regular mechanical way, even though she was old. That was the miracle with her. And isn't it interesting that when Mary went to visit her cousin for a few months, when they met, what happened? The baby who was 6 months older in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy when it heard Mary's voice. Now, brothers and sisters, any one of y'all that's gotten pregnant and you dads that were there, you know when you reach a certain point and you start seeing little feet move and little hands move and all that stuff, you can sing and you can talk and you can play with that baby while still, and that baby will respond. I remember it was weird when Shiny was pregnant with Christine, we used to play this classical music, you know. Now, we didn't put headphones on her stomach or anything like that, so, but we played it, and Christine would respond. She would kick, or she would move. She heard, and when I would speak to her, or her mama would speak to her in the womb, she would respond. You see, that's what happens. That's how I know a baby in the womb is alive, even at the point of conception. And anybody that says otherwise is either blinded by Satan or just downright evil. And I'm sticking to that. Now, brothers and sisters, Mary went to Elizabeth later, after Gabriel had gave his message, and she confirmed all that God had done for her. So Mary was going to be used. She knew that she was going to be used as a vessel through which God, the Son, would enter the world. And finally, Mary accepted her place and position within God's plans. She knew God was with her. Now, if an angel shows up and tells you God is with you, that's a pretty good sign that God is with you. But brothers and sisters, we don't have an angelic messenger showing up for us to tell us God is with us. We have something far better. We have God Himself as God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, within us. So God is with us in a greater way than He ever was with Mary or Joseph or any of the disciples before Pentecost. After Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, that's a different ballgame. But Mary accepted that. Do we accept that? Do we accept that God has for us something to do in this life? That's one of the things, you see, when we need to figure out what we can learn from this episode in Mary's life, besides just the historical and theological facts that are revealed, what can we learn? Well, we need to understand that we know more than Mary did at that time. Now let us remember, as we said earlier, Mary stayed a long time. She was with the disciples. She saw Jesus' death and crucifixion. She was there. She knew of the resurrection. She knew of the miracles. She knew all the things we know now later. But at that time, in Nazareth, when Gabriel came, she only knew what Gabriel told her. So as far as that, we know far more. Why, she knew the child was going to be the Son of God and her Savior. Again, we go back to Mary was not sinless. That's Luke 1:47. If you want to look that up. She says her spirit rejoices in God her Savior. She did not know how this was to be accomplished. Now, she did have a hint. Remember, on the eighth day when they took Jesus into the temple to be circumcised and they ran into a man named Simeon. And Simeon in Luke 2:35 told Mary, said that this, your son is going to be for the rise and fall of many in Israel. And then he said, and a sword shall pierce your heart also. So she had a hint that there was going to be suffering. I believe that suffering came when she saw her son crucified. You know, I get upset when I see my daughter get an ant bite on her foot. You know, I don't want her to hurt. I don't want her to suffer. I'll even scratch it for her on occasion. But imagine seeing your child, as some of us unfortunately have seen, pass. And in such a way as Mary saw her son pass. Yes, that was piercing to her heart. But then she also got to see his resurrection and his ascension, because she was with the disciples. And his promise was for her as everyone else's. He was going to come again in like manner. Now we know that the historical church, especially the Catholic Church, has built up a whole lot of traditions and stories and frankly mythology around Mary. Brothers and sisters, believe what the Bible says. Don't believe a story made up by man. Believe what the Bible says. And Mary knew. We know more than she did at that time. We know that our sinless Savior would die in our stead as our Passover lamb, so that those who believe in and on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus was born, Mary did not know that. Mary did know that later, but not before He was born. Mary did not know this. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, as we said, Mary was still alive. Christ most assuredly let her know, for she was in the company with the disciples. That's Acts 1:14, if you want to look it up. She was with the company when He appeared to them. So brothers and sisters, we know much more than Mary knew. Mary, did you know? Yeah, she knew a little. At that point, she knew far less than she would know later. And we know more now than she knew at the beginning. Thus, the mother of Jesus would eventually know and believe in her son the same way as we do today, but in much more blessed understanding. Yes, the Bible is clear. She is blessed. And all generations have called her blessed. However, we need to stick with what the Bible says. Someone being blessed does not make them something they are not. As good as a lady she is, we cannot pray to her and her intercede on our behalf. How do I know this? Because the Bible is very clear. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. And it is on Him we pray. There's nothing wrong with remembering fondly great Christians of the past, whether they be back in the days of the disciples or during the Roman persecutions or back 100, 200, 300 years ago. There's nothing wrong with remembering them and honoring their faith. But they can't do anything for us. It's up to us to take what the Holy Spirit has given us, the knowledge and the wisdom and the grace of God, to believe on that and to be saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that gave life into Mary's womb is the same Spirit that gives us eternal life because of what the fruit of the womb of Mary did later in life. Does that make sense to everybody? We are blessed. We are alive because of the life that the Holy Spirit gives us through Christ the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters. She was and is, according to the Scriptures, blessed. She is not a mediatrix between God and man. And as I said, she's no more blessed than any other believer and cannot give us any intercession. I believe she's saved as we are and is in heaven awaiting the return of Jesus with the rest of the saints. Now, when I say saints, I mean all who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all saints. We're all saints if we have faith. However, at that time in history, before the birth of Jesus, before the wedding in Cana, before the cross and before the empty tomb, before the ascension, before the upper room in Acts, Mary knew that her son would be called the Son of the Most High. She knew that boy was special. That boy was real special. She knew the night the angels sang to the shepherds and the shepherds showed up. A bunch of shepherds showed up at the edge of the cave where they were in. They wanted to worship this baby. Now you imagine, Mary, folks, we have beautiful creches and beautiful nativity scenes, but you do realize they were in a cave in straw and she just gave birth. It was messy. Okay? It wasn't a clean hospital room or a room in the inn. And all of a sudden these shepherds show up. These smelly, no good, lower caste in the Hebrew system shepherds. But who else would God go to except the common man? Who did you go out in the wilderness to see? You want to be special people? They're in kings' houses. No, if Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, you went out to see him that God has sent. I'm paraphrasing and conflating a lot there. When we go, we are reminded by these symbols. We don't worship the symbols. We are reminded by the symbols of the beauty of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, at this time of year, do not let extra-biblical tradition, whether that be religious tradition, or whether that be Santa Claus, or whether that be family, or jingle bells on the radio, whatever. Do not let that come between you and the realization and the understanding of the miracle of what we celebrate at Christmas time. God became man. You know, the gospel in John is just as beautiful, the Christmas story in John is just as beautiful as the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke. There ain't no Christmas story in John. Oh, yes, there is. It's just worded a wee different. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was men, the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That was Elizabeth's boy. They came, saying, for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Talking about the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God became flesh. Later on, if you keep reading, it said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Christmas story. And the reason He came is for them that believe on His name should be the sons of God. And that includes the daughters of God. Brothers and sisters, that's what Christmas is. That's what Christmas is. You know, when I was little, even when I was a little older, I always looked forward to Christmas time. Seems like it goes by a lot slower when you're little, doesn't it? But you know, now it's coming fast and faster and faster and faster. And I was looking forward to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I was looking for, he's a mean one, Mr. Grinch. I always liked Mr. Grinch. He looked like me in a mirror, so, except for the green. But that's not Christmas. It's fun, but it's not Christmas. This is Christmas. Jesus became, remember, before He was born, He was not Jesus. He was the Son of God. When He was born, He received the name Jesus, which means He shall save His people from His sins. He was called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And if God became man, He was with us. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus. He is the Son of the Most High. All praise be to God our Savior, which reveals secrets to mankind that we know the truth, which will set us free. Praise be to the Lord who came to us, dwelt among us as a man, lived a life through which He taught us this truth. Praise be to God that this Christ, the Son of Mary, would feel everything a man could feel and still be without sin. Praise be to this Christ, the Son of God, who would die and live again so that we might be reconciled unto God. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Mary knew a little bit of what we know now. But we know much more than she did at that time. However, she learned through her life, watching her son grow, watching him do the miracles, watching him die, watching him walk through that door in the upper room with the other disciples, watching him ascend unto heaven and hearing the promise that he would return again. Mary knew then much more than she knew at the beginning. We know what Mary knew and much, much more. And we must believe and trust in God as Mary did. She said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me as thou hast said." I'm paraphrasing. Can we say that? "Behold, God, your servant, do unto me as you will. Let me do what you have called me to do." Brothers and sisters, if we have not said that, we better say it. Because He alone is God. God the Son. And that is what we can learn from what Mary knew. Let's pray. Father, thank You for revealing these things to us. As you reveal the truth to Mary, Lord, You've revealed the truth through Your Word, through Your prophets, through Your disciples, through every blood-bought believer, Lord, the truth. And may the Lord be upon every heart as we share this truth to all those who need to hear it. We thank You, Father. We ask a blessing upon this house and these people. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.